this song that y'all sang, Mrs. York, was a blessing. And it really is. Lead me to that rock, like Mrs. Pelkey was speaking about, is having that relationship with Christ. That's how we get to the rock. He is the rock. So I love that special kind of coincided with what she just spoke on. I'm really excited about Mrs. White being with us again. I believe this is your third time? I believe her third time being able to be with us. And I tell the same story every time because I love it. I love how the Lord brought them here. They came to our church looking for somebody, and they were looking for someone, and they came to the wrong church. And it was like around, that was back when we were doing Sunday school in the morning, and so it was around Sunday school time, and they walked in, and he introduced himself, and my husband talked to him. We never met him before, and we sat down for Sunday school, and I believe Brother Jeff was still teaching Sunday school at the time, so he came up to teach Sunday school, and we're sitting right here in the front row, and my husband leans over, and he goes, "I asked Brother White to preach this morning," and I was like, "Well, do you even know what he believes? Like, is he Baptist? Is he Presbyterian? Like, do you even know?" He said, "No." He said, "I didn't ask him. He said, I just felt like the Holy Spirit told me to have him preach this morning." And so me, of being little faith, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, "Oh, Lord, please let him at least use the right Bible." we sat right down there, and before he spoke, he had Mrs. White come up. And he asked her to give a testimony. And I don't remember everything that you said. I remember you talked a little bit about when you were in Russia and your salvation testimony. But I remember it was like the Holy Spirit opened the back doors, and like this refreshing wind just kind of swooped over the congregation. And I consider myself kind of like in between. You know, I'm kind of old and kind of young. I kind of have those days where I feel young and I feel old. And I'm just a young kid sitting down here is how I look at myself sometimes being in the ministry. I see these women, Mrs. Pelkey and Mrs. White, and many of you ladies that have been doing it longer than I have. And I remember sitting down there and I thought, I want what she has. I want what she has. I didn't realize at the time that I wasn't saved, but I knew she had the Holy Spirit on her and I wanted that. And I remember sitting there and just hanging on to every word that she was saying during her testimony. And then her husband preached. And ever since then, the Lord has just knit our hearts together. I'm thankful for the Whites. They don't quit. He had COVID extreme. He had the long-term COVID, and then he just had a knee replacement. But they just don't give up. They don't quit. They have a passion for souls. They have a passion to see people who need Christ, whether it's the unsaved or those of us who may be wayward or backslidden. They have a burden to help people. And that's what the Christian life is all about, isn't it? Is getting our minds off ourselves and helping people and showing them Christ. And I believe that Brother White and Mrs. White amplify that throughout their life. She has some books down here I would recommend. If you're interested, talk to her about those books. I believe that's the one that the devotional that you put together. It's a blessing. She sent it to me a while back with a little coffee cup that matched, and I still have that coffee cup, and I still have the devotional. And then, do you have any of your books about your life story? You don't.
They're available, but I don't have any.
Okay, if you talk to her and ask her about trying to get that book about their life, they have a book about their travels and kind of like their life story. My daughter, Ruby, how many times do you think you read that book? Three or four times. We actually bought her a new one because she had worn out the cover. She had read it. But it's an amazing story about living faith over fear, basically. In that story, it's all about how the Lord has brought them through. And I'm sure there were times where they were afraid. They're human. But you see that faith, you know, that just doesn't waver throughout that book. So talk to her about that book. I'm telling you, it would be a blessing to you. Mrs. White, why don't you come speak for us? Take as much time as you need. You have two sessions, so.
Okay. I'm a little short, so I'll fix this. Can you hear me okay? Oh, what's that commercial? Do you hear me? I haven't seen that in a long time. Eric, I want to tell you that I have nothing left to say. Because she really laid the foundation today. She did an excellent job for somebody who says she's not a speaker. I think we can officially say she is, don't you? She did a beautiful job, and thank you. I wanted to tell you that there is not a lot of difference in Mainers and Southerners. Just in case you didn't know, I'm a Southerner. But about 25 years ago, my son, my oldest son, Paul, and my younger son, David, came to Maine to spend a vacation with a family that they both worked for when they were in college. And my son Paul called me, and I can't remember if we were in overseas at the time or if we happened to be in the States, but I just remember he called me. And he said, "Mom, we had the most wonderful time up in Maine." He said, "Do you know what? Those people are rednecks and don't know it." I said, "Okay, then it must be a good place to be." Because, I mean, I'm just an old Southern redneck. So a few years later, he bought a y'all call it camp. I call it a cabin. But he bought a camp. It was this little blue building with an outhouse. And I said, "Do you know where you bought that?" And we lived in South Carolina. I said, "Do you know how far away Maine is from South Carolina?" He says, "I know, Mom, but it's just such a lovely place. It's not that far. It only takes us 3 days to drive up here, but it's not that far." And he bought that little cabin. And it now has two bathrooms and two bedrooms and a nice little kitchen and living area, and we love coming up here. And so at the time, we were probably in Russia at the time, so we didn't get to come very often. But in 2010, when God closed the door for us to live permanently in Russia, and we were coming more back to the United States, and then by 2015, we were just not going overseas at all, and God opened the university ministry for us. We started making Maine our summer home, but we didn't make it this year, and we missed it so much. And you ladies in this church that have stopped and told me you've been praying for my husband, I thank you so much. He has improved greatly. In fact, he got to feeling better the last week of September. He just said, "I've been set free." And the very next week, he went on to a college university, and he's been on university every week, some weeks twice. He was there. He was on a college yesterday with in the one of the University of North Carolina campuses with a small team that goes with us. And he called me and he said, "It was wonderful. We had a great time." He said, "We got all of our literature out. We got to talk to people." And so he's doing so much better. And I just want to thank you for your prayers. I thought my husband will be 80 in a few months. And I said, "You know, don't you think it's time that we kind of slow down? Maybe don't you think it's time that you just quit traveling everywhere?" And he said, "Nope, I think I can do it one more semester." And I said, "Okay, and then what are you going to do?" And he said, "One more semester." So I probably will get a call if I'm not with him one day. The paramedics will say, "Come and get him. We got him off the ground at the college campus." But we do love the Lord. We love Maine. And you pastor's wives in Maine. Maine is different, but it's not much different than Russia. And a whole lot different than the Ukraine and Belarus and Poland, and I even went to the Philippines one time. Now, it's different than the Philippines, I'll tell you that. But you know, ministering for the Lord is the same everywhere, but it's different. You have people that are the same. They need the Lord. It doesn't matter where they are. When we first, I didn't plan to say any of this, but when we first went on the mission field here in America, our first ministry for 10 years here in America, we did church planting. And our first area that God sent us to was Pennsylvania. We got a good dose of Northerners in Pennsylvania. They told us we ought to go back home to South Carolina. That was where we were living, or maybe we were living in Georgia at the time. I don't remember, but somewhere down south. But you know, God still blessed, and we learned. And that's the thing that you learn. You learn from ministry. You learn from people. You learn from your mistakes. And if you don't learn, then you're pretty stubborn. That's all I've got to say. And I didn't plan to say any of all of that. I wanted to talk to you today about faith over fear. And Erica, she did. She hit everything that I had planned to say. So she's done a foundation for us. I'm going to go about it in a little bit different way. But we want to increase our faith and push down our fears. Don't you all have some fears? We do. If we're honest, we have some fears. I don't have a lot of fears. I've lived a long time and things are going and, you know, life has changed. But do you know what? I do have one fear, and I pray about this fear all the time. I pray that God will not let my body outlive my mind. Amen. You know, I just pray that. I said, God, don't let my body outlive my mind, because I want my mind to be crisp and able to help people to know you. You know, we got some commandments from the Lord. In Titus, he tells us older women that we are to help teach the younger women. And I can't do that if I don't have a mind. So I guess if there's one fear, you can pray with me that God would help me not to be fearful, is that my body won't outlive my mind. My body's been along a number of places. It's been doing a lot of things. You know, when I was saved, back when I was about 10 years old, and that was about 65 years ago, in case you don't know how old I am, I didn't realize how things were going to be. I just knew that I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I heard the gospel, and it pricked my heart, and I couldn't be still. I had to get up off that pew that I was sitting on in the back and go tell that man up front, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. And that was my prayer. I don't think that's anywhere in the Bible. I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. I guess the closest thing is the publican said, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And that's what I meant. But God understood that prayer. He knew what I meant, and he saved my soul. And I went back home to my home, and it wasn't a Christian home. And I didn't have a Titus 2:3 woman in my life. And I floundered. And went to this church and went to that church and looking for something, because something was missing in my soul. And it went on for 12 years. But when I was 22 years old, in God's marvelous grace, he sent us to an independent Baptist church. Don't know what an independent Baptist church was. I just knew I wanted to go to a Baptist church. My husband grew up, his father was a Methodist preacher, and once I met him, if we did go to church, we only went to the Methodist church, and I'm not putting down the Methodist church, but I didn't get anything out of it. And I remembered my grandmother going to this little country church. And it was a Baptist church, and I felt the presence of God there. And I just said, I want to go to a Baptist church, and that's where God sent us. 3 years later, my husband got saved. And then, about, 5 or 6 years later, we went off to Bible school. We weren't young. My husband was 36 when we left to go to Bible school. He was 40 years old when we first started in the ministry. So we're kind of new to this. You know, some of you are young and you've already been in the ministry 20 or 30 years. Well, we were old and we'd been in the ministry about 45 years now. But God just worked in our lives in such special ways. And when we worked for 10 years in the United States as church planners, I don't guess we ever thought about coming to Maine, to tell you the truth. Pennsylvania was as far north as we got. But then God spoke to our heart about the foreign mission field. And so we spent 20 years in the former Soviet Union. Most of you young people don't know what the former Soviet Union was, but it was, we'd been in a number of the countries that were part of the Soviet Union, and God allowed us to start churches there that are still going, and people are still hearing the gospel, and we praise the Lord. And now that we're back in America, we have the university ministry. It's a needy ministry. We don't have a lot of time to talk to these students. We go to campuses. We have literature that we take. We pass it out. If the student will talk to us, we'll spend time with them. But most of the time, they're going and coming to class. And we feel like we need to get the Word of God into their hand. So we have written 4 booklets so far that are specifically designed for college age people, but they work for anybody. And we want to be sure they're topics that they are interested in, topics they have to deal with every day. And then we give them the gospel and show them how you can handle these topics through the Lord. So that's my life. And here I am. Later, and God is still letting me, still get have a half of a mind anyway, it hadn't completely gone, and He's still allowing me to talk to ladies like you, and I want to be an encouragement to you today. And so I'm going to pray. I hope you'll pray with me. I pray that God will give me the right words. Erica set the foundation. And I want to build on that good, solid foundation that she set today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these ladies. You sent each one here today for a special purpose. You sent me today for a special purpose. And Lord, I pray that you will use me. That, Lord, your words will come through my mouth. That your love will show through me, that your knowledge and understanding can go forth to these ladies. Help us, Lord, to realize that we have to make a choice. It's either faith or fear. Help us, Lord, to be an honor and glory to you. Help me, Lord, to give glory to your name. For it's in the name of Jesus I do pray. So, our theme is 2 Timothy chapter 1, right? Now, Erica did a great job of going over verses 5 through 7, but I'd like for us to take a look at starting from the beginning. Paul is writing this. He tells us who he is. And he's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And in verse 3, he thanks God for Timothy. You know, I thank God for the Timothys that he's put into my life, into our life. I thank God for the young Belarusian men that we were able to lead to the Lord and now are pastoring churches in those areas. I thank him for that. And in verse number 4, Paul says that he's greatly desiring to see Timothy, that his joy may be filled. I want you just to keep that in mind, not right this minute, but we're going to talk about that joy, our joy being filled. And then we go where he, in verse 2, verse 2, look what Paul said to Timothy. My dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. His salutation is one of grace. Grace is that favor from God toward man. His salutation is mercy. Mercy, the kindness that we do not deserve, that comes from God. And he wishes him peace, that tranquility and state of security. And you know, I like to do that when I write letters. I don't write letters as much as I used to. It seems like all I ever do now is write emails, and everybody wants them short. But I do wish that to you ladies today as we're talking. I wish to you God's grace, God's mercy, and God's peace. Because when we have those, we can have a relationship that's full of joy. Our relationship with one another will be full of joy. Our relationship with God can be full of joy. And then we see, as Erica talked about in verse 5, the unfringed faith, that faith that was passed on from grandmother to mother to child. There's our example, ladies. Grandmother, that's me. Some of you other ladies may be a grandmother. You have your children. You should have passed that faith on to them. And then they, in turn, will pass it on to their children. And their children and their children. And that's what it's all about, Lord. The giving God glory and raising children who love the Lord. Didn't you love hearing those girls sing today? I just did. There's another generation coming up that can love the Lord and live for Him. And so we, as women who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we need to pass on that faith from one generation to the next. We need to be a Titus 2:3 woman that's teaching the younger women how to love their husbands, how to be a good wife, how to be a good mother, how to be a good church member. We have a lot of responsibility. Every one of us in this room have a lot of responsibility to teach those that are coming under us to love the Lord. I hear people say this all the time. It's Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And we think, I'm taking my child to church. I'm training him. But are you really? He's going to go the way he was trained. Did you teach him to love the Lord? Did you teach your child that God is first in your life? Is that how you're training your child? Or are you training them some other way? I promise you, the way you're training them is the way they're going to go when they get older. Now, we all have someone in our family that's been raised right and maybe went the wrong way. But for the most part, you can be assured that if you're raising your child for the Lord, he is going to love God. So faith is what we're talking about. And faith grows through the knowledge and understanding of God's Word, just like Erica talked to us about. And it grows by hearing testimonies. Now, I told you a little bit about how I got saved, and I've told you a little bit about the things that I've done. That's my testimony. I remember back when we were in Belarus, we had started a church, and we were meeting in a little tiny apartment about the size of their nursery. That's about how much room we had. And so we didn't have room for everybody. So we had the children come first, and after their services they'd leave, and the adults would stay, and some of the teenagers. Well, one Sunday we had this lady come and bring her daughter, and she stayed with her through Sunday school, and she said, well, we told her adult services next, and she said, can my daughter stay? And we said, yes, and so she stayed. Well, one of the things that my husband encouraged, and I don't know if you do this in Maine, I don't hear it a lot in the churches that I go to, but I'm getting to the point I don't hear it very much in the churches I go to down south. And that's someone standing up and giving glory to God for saving their wretched, sin-filled soul. And my husband encouraged the people to do that. There was no one saved when we started the church in Belarus. We started with children, and nobody knew anything about God, and we did not have anybody that was saved. But we told people about the Lord, and we had people get saved. And so my husband would encourage those people to give their testimony. And so one day this lady got up, or that particular Sunday, she gave her testimony, talked about the peace and the joy and how wonderful it was to be saved. And then we had our church service. And a couple of days later, I went with another lady to visit the lady that came with her daughter. We hadn't been in her house 10 minutes, probably 5 minutes. And she said to us, I want to know how I can have that joy and peace that that lady was talking about and that man was talking about. And I had the joy of leading Natasha to the Lord. Now, that was almost 30 years ago, ladies. And Natasha, she just bloomed and blossomed and gave her testimony. And here she is 30 years later doing the same thing in the same church. And that just came by two people standing up and talking about the glory of God on their life. No, woe is me, I don't have a dollar bill in my pocket today. No, no, no. They were praising. They didn't have a dollar bill. They didn't have anything. But they were praising God for their salvation. And that praise led someone else to come to the Lord. So do you have faith, unhinged faith, like Erica talked about? And do your children see that unhinged faith? Can you honestly say, my child knows that God comes first in my life? It's a real faith. So, what I want to do now is go to an instruction book, and we're going to look at some instructions that God has given us. And I'm going to spend the rest of this session and the next session in this book. I'd like for you to turn to 2 John. It's kind of down back here in the back. It's after 1 John and it's between 3 John, just in case you can't find it. This little booklet that I have is actually a Bible study that I wrote on 2 John. So we're not going to do the whole Bible study here in two lessons, but I am going to talk about some things that we can see about a letter that was written to a mother and the encouragement and the lessons that John had for her. So let's look at 2 John here. It says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Isn't it wonderful to know you're loved, but to be loved in truth? And so this letter was written to a lady that was saved. Now, it says the elect lady, and I don't want anybody to get confused. She's the elect lady because she elected to ask Jesus Christ to be her Savior. Okay? And so there's a letter. And then we go on and we see that she's loved in truth. And I love verse 2. For truth's sake, which dwelt in us and shall be with us forever. Isn't that a wonderful truth? If you have any problems with understanding that salvation is an eternal thing, well, look at this verse. Just a few words. And it informs us that the truth, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that dwells within us is going to be there forever, forever. I have never known anyone that has problems with this doctrine of eternal security that's ever been safe in their salvation. They waver. They don't know. They don't have that unhinged faith that Erica talked about. This is an important doctrine. I hope that if you have any trouble with it, you'll study it out and get that straight. So, we know that we're loved. We know that our salvation is forever. And then we get this blessing again. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ the Son and of the Father in truth and in love. There it is. Don't you love that? So we're getting some more blessings. We got it from Paul writing to Timothy. We're getting it from John writing to the elect lady. And he says, I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Do you know what? Other people rejoice when they see our children walking in truth. Now, some of you ladies have a lot of children. I don't have a lot of children. God only blessed me with 2. I didn't try not to have more. That's all he gave me. But he's given me 9 beautiful grandchildren from those 2. And I'm so grateful. And I hope to live long enough to see some of those grandchildren married and see some great grandchildren. You know, so I want my children, my grandchildren, to be walking in truth. But not only for me, but for you. Because if you see my children and if you see my grandchildren walking in truth, it's going to be an encouragement to you. It's going to be an encouragement to you to help your children grow up in the truth. It'll be an encouragement to you to help your grandchildren and whoever God places in your way. So now we've got that others are rejoicing. And then we look and we see in verse number 5 and 6, the how to. Did any of you ever read those how to books? I have to Google all the time how to do this because I don't know anymore. How to. Well, here, John has given us the how to in verse number 5 and 6. He says, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. John is giving this lady and us some instructions. Some instructions how to build our faith. It's very simple. Follow the Lord. But he talks about the commandments. And usually in the Bible, when they talk about, use the word the commandments, they're talking about when God spoke to Moses on that mountain and gave us 10, not suggestions, but commandments. So if you will turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 20, we're going to look at some how-tos to increase our faith so that we have faith over fear, not fear over faith. And in case you don't know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. So it's the second book, chapter 20. So, as we walk in truth, truth overcomes fear. You should remember that. Truth overcomes fear. Whatever it is that you're fearful about, whatever it is that you just hang on to that's keeping you from being that joyful, full of joy Christian, remember, it's truth that will help us to get over that. It helps us to overcome our fear. In Proverbs, it says this, in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's what we want to come out of our mouth. And to our children and to our grandchildren. So right now, let's take a look at some truth that God has given us to live by. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but quickly. We've got four commandments that have to deal with our relationship with God. And you're going to have to ask yourself. I have to ask myself. Is my relationship according to the Word of God? If it's not, my fear level's going to go up and my faith level's going to go down. But when my relationship with God is in accordance to the Word of God, then the opposite happens. So, it says, I am the Lord thy God, in verse number 2. Verse number 3, God says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Ladies, I want you to know, we live in a generation of other gods. We do. And most people don't even realize that they are worshiping other gods. Be sure that your relationship with God the Father is what it should be. We're not to make a graven image. Now, none of us have little graven images. At least I hope none of you have little graven images in your house that you go and worship. Now, when we were in Russia, we did. We had two types of people when we were in, I mean, there was really one type. They were lost, but two types of lost people when we were in Russia. The lost religious person who had a little corner in their room with an icon and a candle and whatever that they prayed to. And then over here we had those that just had nothing. These were easier to win to Christ than those that had their little gods. But do you know that we as Americans have our little idols? It's a house, a car, maybe the clothes we wear. I could go on and on. You can name those little idols. Those little idols that creep into your house, that creep into your life, and they become important to you. And God says we're not to have them. We're not to bow down to them, is what verse number 5 says. And that we're not to take the Lord's name in vain, is what verse 7 says. I hope you don't. But I do hear Christians, people who tell me they know God, and they take His name in vain. God's name is holy. We need to keep it that way. So we don't want to do that, but here's the saddest thing I see in Christianity today, is verse number 8 is not heeded. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now you and I know that we don't worship on the Sabbath day. We worship on the first day of the week, the day that our Lord Jesus Christ rose out of the grave, conquered death for you, for me. And that's the day that we should be worshiping our Lord, not going to Walmart or the Dollar Tree. Those are my two places that I shop, but not on Sunday. You know, my husband and I try to even avoid going to a restaurant or anything on Sunday. We go to church, we come either have lunch with a family or friends, go home, rest, think about the service, go back and go to church, come back home, and the next day is Monday and I can go to the grocery store that day. But I know at where we've just moved to in North Carolina, we just recently moved, just a week ago I moved into this house. The Walmart parking lot has more cars in it on Sunday when I'm coming home from church than it does on Monday. Now, I don't know how it is here in Maine, but that's how it is in North Carolina where I live. Nobody's worshiping, honoring the Sabbath day. And we wonder why Christianity is so much on the downhill slide. It's because we, who call ourselves Christians, are not honoring our Lord and Savior. And God, and that is what we are called to do. We are called to live our life in such a way that our faith outshines any fear we might have. That people see that our faith is important. That people see that our God is important. And that He means something to us. Now the next 6 commandments, I'll just go across about them very quickly. I'm sure you all know them. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's in verse number 12. And that means no matter how old you are, you little young girls should honor your mother and your father. Me, my age woman, we still should honor our mother and our father. We don't need to talk. I have to tell you, my mother lived an awful, awful, sinful life until she got saved. And when she got saved, oh my word, you talk about old things passed away, behold, all things become new. People didn't recognize her anymore. That's the big, big change that happened in her life. So I don't like to talk about those 55 years that she lived apart from God. I'd rather remember her in the last 30 years where she loved the Lord and lived for Him, where I can honor her and talk about how much her life changed. Unfortunately, my father's life never changed. But nonetheless, I'm not going to go be putting him down. I do use him as an example. I said he was a very quote-unquote religious man who never came to Christ. My mother was a wicked, wicked, wicked woman who came to Christ, and her life was changed dramatically. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that I had a part in my mother coming to the Lord. So I want to honor them. What about thou shalt not kill? Anybody killed anybody this week? Are you? No? Nobody did? Are you sure? Did you say anything ugly about somebody to someone else? Did you say something that might have hurt someone's reputation to someone else? Did any of you kids say to your brother, I wish you were dead? Just the thought of it in your mind, Jesus said, you committed it. Adultery. I hope none of you women and young girls are into that. But you'd be surprised at how many Christians are and don't think a thing about it. They flaunt it. So, we don't want to be doing that. Thou shall not steal. Anybody stole anything this week? I almost did. I went to the bank and I had to sign my name to a paper, and I walked right out with the pen in my hand. And I got out the door and I said, that's not mine. And I turned around and took it back, so I didn't steal. But how many of us steal time from our employers? We don't give them the full amount of work. How many of us steal from our parents by not doing exactly what they told us to do? You see, these things are very applicable to our life. And if we're not living according to these commandments, we're not living in faith. And that's what we're talking about today, living in faith. And here's, don't lie, is verse number 16. But here's the one that we all have trouble with, number 17. Thou shalt not covet. Sometimes we are guilty of that and we really don't even realize it. I was just talking to my friends over here and I was telling them that in this new house that we just built, we didn't realize it, and we don't have any bookshelves because in our old house, the bookshelves were built in. And so I've packed all my books and we've come to this smaller, not very nice house. I'm very proud of it, but I don't have any bookshelves. I'm coveting some bookshelves right now. I'll be honest, I am. I really need a good set of bookshelves. But we do, all of us at times, see things and we want them. Things that really we don't need. I do need some bookcases. I want to put my books up. But, you know, that's not going to be the center of my thought for the next 6 months until I get a bookcase. There's got to be other things. So John has given us the how to increase our faith. And he wants us, he encourages this lady. He's encouraged us, he's encouraged her that we walk in truth. Truth. Jesus Christ is truth. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth. No man can come to the Father but by me. We have to know the truth. We need to live in the truth. And as Erica said, the more, and she gave us great examples of what to do. I'm not going to redo those. But the closer we are to this book, the more our faith will increase and our fear will decrease. Now, in the next session, I'm going to talk to you about something that maybe you don't hear too often. I hope you'll stay for the final one. We're going to finish out the book of 2 John. If you're interested in a booklet, in a book, they're $5. If you don't have $5 and you want one, just take it. It's okay. I've just recently reread this booklet. It needs to be done over again. I left out too much. I left out way too much. But it's a Bible study of 2 John. So I hope that something I said today will help you, to encourage you to live a life of faith. Not a life of fear. And we have the instructions. That's the thing. There's no reason for us to live in fear. because we have the instructions right here in this book, and this book will give us knowledge and understanding and wisdom. If we will apply, the wisdom comes when we apply what we hear. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for these ladies, for their attention. And I pray, Lord, now that you'll bless the remainder part of this meeting. For it's in your name I do pray, dear Jesus.
It's about 10:45. We can go ahead and take like about a 10-minute break or so. Get something to snack on, use the restroom, get another drink, coffee, a hot chocolate, or water, or whatnot. So we'll just go ahead and do that.
I think it's still going. Yeah.